Milta Hashem, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Samach Hey. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of the Amud. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Samach Daled Amud Beis that a woman is allowed to go out b'moich sheba ozna, a wad that's in her ears, b'moich sheba sandala, if she puts a wad, some material or something for comfort, extra comfort in her sandals, or b'moich sheit kinol nidosa, or b'moich she put in to collect her dam nidos, etc. Says the Gemara, Ubamoich Sheba Ozna, referring to the wad that she's putting into her ears and going out with it on Shabbos, Tony Rami Bar Yecheskel learnt in a braisa, V'hu Shekoshur Ba Ozna, it must be connected and tied to her ears, and that way it cannot fall down on Shabbos, it cannot fall out. If it falls out on Shabbos, there's a risk she's going to pick it up and carry it in Roshot HaRabim. Continues the Mishnah, and the wad, the piece of material she's putting in for extra comfort into her shoes, says the Gemara Tony Rami Bar Yecheskel, v'hu shekoshru lo b'sandalo, it must be tied to her shoe, and that way it cannot fall out. Some mefarshim say this is only an open shoe where the wad can fall out and she may pick it up. Others say that it's even in a closed shoe. It's a machlokes in the mefarshim. Continues the Mishnah, the wad that she prepares to receive the dam nidois, says the Gemara, Sova Rami Bar Choma Lemeimar, Ravi Bar Choma thought to say, V'hu shekshura lo bein yarchiseo, that in the same way as the Moich Sheba Sandala and the Moich Sheba Ozna have to be tied so they shouldn't fall down, because if they do fall down, she may pick them up in Roshot HaRabim. So he wanted to say v'huk shekshura lo bein yarchiseo, that this wad is tied between her thighs, and that way it should not fall out on Shabbos. Omar Rava, Rava argues with this and says afal pi she'ein kosher lo, she's allowed to go out with this even if it's not tied to her. Kiven de moisla, since it is very repulsive to her, loy asya le'asya, she will not come to carry it. She won't take it out. And if it falls out, she won't pick it up. Asks the Gemara, Boy Menir of Yermia Miravaba. Yermia asked Rababa, Asa Salah Beis Yad Mau. What happens if this woman fashioned a type of handle to this wad that was there to collect the dam nidois? What's the halacha? Do we say that since there's a handle, therefore it will not be so repulsive to hold it, and therefore the risk comes back? She may take it out, it may fall out, and she'll pick it up. Or do we say, no, even if there's a handle there, she wouldn't want to handle it on Shabbos, and therefore there's no risk of her carrying it? Omar Lei, Reb Abba replied to Reb Yirmiya, Mutar, she's allowed to go out with it, because it's so repulsive, she will not carry it, she will not hold it, even with its handle, on Shabbos. Itma Nami, we learned similarly to what Reb Ami just said, to what Reb Abba just said, Omar Reb Nachman Bar Oishia, Omar Reb Yechanon, Also Solo Beis Yad, if she made a type of handle for this wad that's supposed to collect the dam nidois, Mutar, she's, even though there's a handle to it, she's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Now the Gemara relates, Rabbi Yechanan Nofik Bei Lebei Midrasha. Rabbi Yechanan put a wad into his ears to collect the wax, or to collect whatever the fluids were in his ear, and he went to the Beis Medrash with it on Shabbos. And there's two explanations in Rashi, but Rashi prefers the first one, and that's how we're going to learn this Gemara, that there was a Roshos HaRabim between his home and the Yeshiva and the Beis HaMedrash. And he went out and went through the Roshos HaRabim with this wad in his ear, and it was not tied to his ear. V'chelkin olav chaveirov, and all his friends, all the other chaveirim, they argued with him and said he should not have done that. Rabbi Yanai Nofik Buhu LeKarmelis. Rabbi Yanai went out into a Karmelis. A Karmelis is not a biblically ordained Roshos HaYochid or Roshos HaRabim. It's a Mokim Ptur Min HaTorah. We've learned about this a little bit at the beginning of the Maseches. And this Karmelis, which is, it has the halachos of Roshos HaRabim Midrabanon, and Rabbi Yanai went out with such a wad in his ears that were not tied to his ear. Or he went out with a wad in his shoes, and it was not tied to his shoe. The Chol Kol of Kol Deiroi, and all the Talmidei Chachomim of his generation argued with him and said he should not have gone out. If the Chachamim said you're not allowed to go out with these things, then you're not even allowed to go into a karmelis with it. Now asks the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yochanan go from his home to the Beis HaMedrash to Rosh HaSarabim when the wad in his ears were not tied? V'atani Rami Bar Yecheskel v'ushakar shulah ba'ozno. Did Rami Bar Yecheskel not say explicitly that he's only allowed to use such a wad and carry it on Shabbos if it's tied to his ear? Says the Gemara, Lo Ikashya. I can answer this question. It's not a contradiction. Hod me'adak, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, even though it was not tied, it was very tightly pressed, and therefore there was no risk that it was going to fall out. Hod lo me'adak, the braisa that said that it has to be tied to the ear or to the shoe is when it's not pressed in tightly, and then there's a risk of it falling out, unless it's tied. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that a woman is allowed to go out bepilpil, which is a type of a very strong pepper, or begalgal melech, or with a lump of salt in her mouth. Says the Gemara, pilpil, why would a woman want to go out with such a peppercorn in her mouth? L'reach ha-peh, if there's a not nice smell, if there's an odor coming from the mouth, then she would use this pepper in order to dispel that odor, in order to, it should be comfortable to go around. Galgal melech, why would a woman or anybody go out with a lump of salt in their mouth? L'doroshini, it's for somebody who's got some tooth disease, it relieves it or heals it. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, v'chol dovo shenitin l'teich piha, that woman's allowed to go out with anything that was placed in her mouth. And the Gemara is now going to say, what sort of things would a woman go out with in her mouth? Zangvila, ginger, inami dirtzoino, or cinnamon. And these are both used for, I'm not sure if medical is the right word or therapeutic, but it was something to add comfort to her, therefore it's not considered a burden and she's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. And since she needs them for healing, presumably she would not take them out either. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Shein Toiteves Shein Shelzov, a false tooth made of gold, Rebbe Matir v'Chachomim Oisrim, Rebbe allowed a woman to go out with it on Shabbos, and the Chachomim said it was Osa. Says the Gemara, Omer Abzeira, Lo Yishonu Elo Shelzov, the whole argument between them is only regarding a gold tooth. It's a very expensive ornament, or it could be showed off as an ornament, and therefore we're afraid that a woman is going to take it out and show her friends. Aval b'shel kesev, but if this false tooth is made of silver, it's not that valuable, she will not take it out of her mouth. Divrei Hakel Mutar, everybody agrees she's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, even the Chachomim. Tanina Mihochi, we saw a brisa to this effect. V'shel kesef divrei hakel mutar, if the false tooth was made of silver, everybody agrees that she's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Shel zov, if the false tooth is made of gold, Rebbe matir v'chachomim oisrim, then according to Rebbe, she can go out with it on Shabbos, according to the Chachomim, she cannot. Now we know why the Chachomim said that it's also to go out with it, because we're afraid she's going to take it out of her mouth and show her friends. Why does the Rebbe say it's okay to go with it, even if it's a false tooth made of gold? Why was he not concerned that she would take it out in Rosh HaSarabim? And the Gemara is going to address that now. Omar Abaya, Rebbe, Reb Eliezer, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Kulu Sviru Luhu, the called Midi, the Miganyo Bey, Le'asya Le'achvoye. Anything that by showing it off, by taking it out, she's going to reveal something which is an embarrassment to her, she will not do it. We're not afraid she's going to do it. And we're going to bring some examples. Rebbe Hoda Omron. Rebbe is exactly the case we just discussed, that he says that she's allowed to go out with a gold false tooth. The Chachomim say she may take it out to show her friends. Rebbe says if she takes it out, she's going to show all her friends she's missing a tooth, and that's an embarrassment for her. And therefore, we're not afraid that she's going to show her tooth off if it's going to be at the expense of embarrassing herself. Rebbe Eliezer, where do we find such a concept from Rebbe Eliezer? The Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa, Rebbe Eliezer, Poiter, Bokiveles, or Betzluchis, Shel Plaiton. We already learnt about this previously a few daf back, that a pendant that carried some spices, or a flask that they would put some nice smelling oils in it. According to Rabbi Eliezer, she's not chayiv if she goes out with it on Shabbos. She's potter. And we already saw in the Gemara on Daf Samach Beis, not only does Rabbi Eliezer hold that she's potter, he even says it's muta lekatchila, she's allowed to go out with it. And the Gemara there discussed why Rabbi Eliezer used the term potter and didn't use the term yoitzus, she can go out, or mutter. But either way, Rabbi Eliezer says that we're not worried she's going to show it off to her friends. Why? Because the reason that she would be wearing these fine-smelling fragrances is because of a bad smell that's accompanying her. So if she's going to take this flask and show it off to anyone, or this pendant and take it off and show it to everyone, she's going to be telling everybody that she's got a bad smell. That's going to be an embarrassment for her. So she will not do it. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, D'Tanya, where do we find this concept from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? We learned in a brayse, klal om Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol shei lemata min asvacha yoytzes ba. This is also a Gemara we've seen previously, that a woman is allowed to go out with anything that's underneath her basic and her head covering, her hat. Anything that's under her hat, she can wear, because we're not afraid she's going to pull it out. Because by pulling it out, she may reveal some of her hair. A woman who reveals her hair is an embarrassment, and we're not afraid she'll do that, and therefore she's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Lemaila min asvacha, but any ornament that she's wearing above her hat, eino yotzes bo, she's not allowed to go out with it, because we're afraid she's going to take it off and show it to her friends. Continues the next Mishnah. Yotza b'sela she'al hatzinis. A woman is allowed to go out on Shabbos with a sela, which is a coin that's been bound on a tzinis. We'll see in the Gemara what this means. Habonois, ktanois, yoitzois b'chutin. Young girls are allowed to go out with threads. This will all be discussed soon. Vafilu b'kismin, and even with splinters shebozneim that they would put through the holes in their ears. It was typical for young girls to pierce their ears, but they would not wear earrings until they get a bit older. In the meantime, so the hole should not seal up, they would put some little splinters inside. Arviyois, yoitzois ruulois. The Jewish women that come from a place of Aravi, the Arabian women, are allowed to go out on Shabbos wrapped up in their headcloths. Umodiyois, pruvois. And the Jewish women that come from Modai, they're allowed to go out with their cloaks are fastened with either stones or nuts. And the way that worked was that they put the shawls or their cloaks, they would drape the material from one side onto the other side. And on the other side, they would gather together the pieces of cloth of the two sides and wrap it round a stone or a nut or a coin and tie it together. And that way the cloak would stay on them. And they're allowed to go out like this. That was the custom in Modai. That's how they would go around in Persia. And one is allowed to go out with their clothes, prufois, sealed up like this, closed and wrapped around like this. V'chol odom, and this is the truth is that all these things are permissible for anybody, not only the modiois and not only the arviois. Elo shedibru chachomim bohiva, the chachomim would only speak about the custom that was prevalent at the time. And in those times, that's what the people in Modai did, and that's what the people in the Aravias used to do. And therefore, the Mishnah speaks about them, but it's not to exclude anyone else. Continues the Mishnah. Pirefes alo even. A woman is allowed to fasten her cloak onto a stone, valo egois, or onto a nut, vala matbea, or onto a coin, and she's allowed to do this on Shabbos. Provided that she does not initially fasten the stone, the coin, or the nut on Shabbos. And we've mentioned now three concepts of poirefes, which is fastening her cloak on a stone, a nut, or a coin. And it's almost a contradiction, and the Gemara is going to discuss that. First it says, umodiais prufois, which means that the women from Modai are allowed to do. They're allowed to fasten these cloaks on, and presumably on Shabbos. And then it says perefes ala even, which seems to be that one's allowed to lekatchila fasten her cloak on a stone, etc., which would seem again that it's mutter to do it on Shabbos. But then it says, "Ubulvad sheloy tifreif lekatchila b'Shabbos," that on condition that you do not do it initially on Shabbos, and all this is going to have to be understood, and it will become clearer in the Gemara, Mirtz Hashem. Says the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah that one is allowed to tie a sela, a coin, onto a tzinnis. Ask the Gemara, my tzinnis, what is this tzinnis? Says the Gemara, bas ara, it's a wound on the sole of a person's foot. And in those days, they would tie this coin onto the sole of the foot where it was wounded, and it would be therapeutic and healing for the wound. Ask the Gemara, umayshno sela, what's so special about this coin? Sela is a coin, it's been minted, it's got a design on it. Like, why do you need a coin? Are you suggesting that the advantage of a coin is that it's hard? Then you can take a piece of earthenware for the same price, and for a cheaper price probably, you can take a piece of earthenware which is just as hard and put it and tie it to his foot. Why does the Mishnah mention a coin? Are you going to say that what the properties a coin has, that a piece of earthenware doesn't have, is its moisture? Levad leitasa. Then let her make a silver plating and cover the wound. Why does it have to be a coin? A silver plating would have the same level of moisture, or cause the same level of moisture as a coin. Elo mishum tzurasa. Are you going to suggest that the image that's stamped out, that's etched out on the coin, contributes to the healing? And on a piece of earthenware or a piece of silver, you haven't got the etching, you haven't got the carving out of the coin. If so, levad lepulsa. If what you need is the engraving, then why don't you just take a piece of wood and make some engravings on it and put it on the wound? You know, just etch an image into it. Why does it have to be a coin? Omar Abayas said, "Shma mino kulu malin lo." The healing that gets done with this coin is actually a combination of all three things. Number one, it's hard. Number two, it's the moisture of the silver. And number three, it has an image etched on it. And there's nothing else that will comply with all these three conditions besides for a coin. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Habonois Yotzeis Bechutin. The young girls are allowed to go out with threads that are put through the holes in their ears. Says the Gemara, Avua de Shmuel Shavikle Lebnose Denofki Bechutin. The father of Shmuel did not let his daughters go out with these threads in their ears on Shabbos. Velo Shavik Lehu Ganyon Gabe Hadodi. He did not let them sleep next to each other when they were younger, when they were still basulais. Va'ovid lahu mikvois b'yoyim Nisan, and he would make for them, in the days of Nisan, he would make mikvois for them. Normally, the rest of the year, they would toivel in the Nahar Pros, in the river Pros. In Nisan, he did not want them to use the river Pros, we'll soon see why. He would make mikvois for them. Umefotzi b'yoyim Tishri, and when they would toivel in the Nahar Paros, in the times of Tishri, then he would make for them mats, either mats for under their feet, so their feet should not get dirtied, and there shouldn't be a chatzitza. That's how Rashi says, Tosu says, mats surrounding them, so they could go into the river in privacy, and people wouldn't be gazing at them, and they wouldn't be embarrassed to toivel. Says the Gemara, Lo shavik lehu yoytzeis b'chutin, Shmuel's father did not let his daughters go out with these threads in their ears. Asks the Gemara of Anantnan, but it says in our Mishnah, Habonis Yotzeis Bechutin, that the girls are allowed to go out with the strings in their ears. So why did Shmuel's father not allow them to do that? Says the Gemara, Bonse Davur de Shmuel de Tzivoinin Hoyu, those threads that were worn by the daughters of the father of Shmuel, they were colored ones, and therefore it was more like an ornament, and he was afraid that they would take them out and show their friends on Shabbos, and then they could end up carrying them on Shabbos. To avoid that, he said not to go out with them on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Lo shavik luhu ganyon gabe adodi. He did not let his daughters sleep together whilst they were young. Says the Gemara, this seems to be supporting something Rav Huna said. Domar Rav Huna said, Noshim zubazu, women who rub one another. And this is to gain gratification and satisfaction for their drives. And it's similar to and can lead on to other avirus. And people who do that, the women who do that, psula is lekuhuna, because they are engaging in immoral behavior, they are apostle, they're not allowed to marry a kohen gadol. And so the father of Shmuel, we assume that he was also afraid that if his daughters would be lying in close contact with each other, with skin-to-skin contact, then they could get involved in this type of activity, and to avoid them getting anywhere near this, he said to them that they are not allowed to lie together. And Rashi explains that even though in the time of the father of Shmuel there were no kehanim gedolim, nonetheless, it was a type of znus, it was a very lewd behavior, and we know a kohen gadol is only allowed to marry a girl that's never engaged in any such activities, and having been exposed to this vulgar type of activities made her improper to marry a kohen gadol. It's a derech znus. So the Gemara suggested that the father of Shmuel was following this concept of Rav Huna, how bad it is that the Noshim are mesoilis together. Says the Gemara, Loi, it's not the truth. That's not the reason the father of Shmuel didn't allow them to lie together. Sovar ki heicha deloi lilfon gufa nuchra. The reason that he did not want his daughters to sleep with each other was that he did not want them to become accustomed to lying against any other body, because at some point that could lead to averus, to lying with people that it's seriously also to be lying with. Continues the Gemara, Va'ovid luhu mikva b'yayma Nisan. The father of Shmuel prepared mikvois for his daughters in the days of Nisan. Maseyei el Rav, this supports the opinion of Rav, the Omar Rav, Mitra b'marova, when there's rain in Eretz Yisrael, Sahado rabo pros, the Nahar Paros bears witness to this, and all the people who are around and near the Nahar Paros would see the banks of the river, of the Paros swelling, that lots of water was coming into it because of the rain. They would be very happy for the people in Eretz Yisrael that were getting their rain. And he held, Sovar, Shemo yirbu anoitfin ala zeichalin. And here we have to learn halacha and hilchus mikvois. In hilch, there's two different types of, there's more, but there's two categories of water. There's rainwater, and there's the water that's naturally flowing in a river. Water that's naturally flowing in a river, ma'im chayin, it's a mayon, and a person is allowed to tovel there even though it's flowing. Rainwater, however, when it's flowing, is not a kosher to tovel in it, to be a mikveh. If it's rainwater, it has to be collected in a mikveh, in a container, obviously not a container which is a utensil, but it's got to be contained in a mikveh, which is not moving at all. If there's any leak and anything that's not, if it's not completely static, then the mikveh is possible. So now when you have a river that's flowing and there's lots and lots of rainwater joining the river, then Rav said that as soon as there's more rainwater than the original river water, then we look at the whole river as being rainwater. And once it's rainwater, the fact that it's flowing actually stops us allowing to use it as a mikveh. So it seems that the father of Shmuel held that way, and therefore when it came to the days of Nisan where there was a lot of rain, he was afraid that the whole river was now considered as being rainwater, not naturally flowing water, and therefore it would not be mutter to tovel in it. Upliga de Shmuel, and this practice of the father of Shmuel seems to be arguing with the opinion of Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Nara mikefe mevorich. When a river increases and more water joins it, most of that river, the primary source of all the added water is not from rainwater coming from above or coming from the mountains around it, but it's from itself I don't know how that works, but the rivers from themselves, they become more plentiful, there's more water there. And we do not need to suspect that most of the water, even though much more water has been added to the river, we do not need to assume that most of this water is rainwater. And the Gemara says, "Upliga didei adidei." There seems to be another opinion of Shmuel, which seems to contradict this opinion of Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Ein hamayim matarim bezoichalim." Flowing water can only be used as, so to speak, as a mikveh, but not mikveh, as a mayon, as a form of purifying. Elo pros b'yoyim tishri b'vad, only the river Pras in the days of Tishri, where there's almost no rainwater in it, only then you can comfortably assume that there's little enough rainwater that the flowing water is a kosher mikveh. So there seems to be a contradiction in Shmuel from the two things that Shmuel said. And the Mefarshim discuss, is it really a contradiction, or can we explain them somehow? Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Poirefes alo Evan, a woman is allowed to fasten her cloak onto a stone or a nut or a coin, on condition that she doesn't do it initially on Shabbos, and it's been done before Shabbos. And let's see what the Gemara says. Va'omrus Reisha Poirefes. You started off saying that Poirefes alo Evan, and then you say, but on condition that you don't do it on Shabbos. The word Poirefes seems to be that a woman is allowed to fasten it. It should mean that she's allowed to fasten it on Shabbos. And it wouldn't make sense to say that she's allowed to go out with it into Rosh Hashanah if it's been fastened, and then possibly it means if it was even fastened before Shabbos, and the Mishnah is coming to tell us she's allowed to go out with it that way. We don't need this phrase in the Mishnah to say that. Two lines earlier it says that the Modai women were allowed to go out with cloaks that were fastened to a stone or a nut or a coin. So the fact that she's allowed to go out with it, we know from early on in the Mishnah. So this phrase in the Mishnah seems to be saying that she's allowed to fasten it on Shabbos. So why does the Mishnah say, but you're not allowed to fasten it on Shabbos? Omar Abaya, Abaya answers, Sefer Oson Lemadbea. That what she's allowed to do, Lekatchila, is using either a stone or a nut, where as long as she decided before Shabbos, whether she said it or didn't say it, she just thought it, but as long as she designated and set it aside before Shabbos to be used as a way of fastening her cloak, it's no longer muktzah and she's allowed to do it on Shabbos. A coin, however, if you didn't actually fasten the cloak onto the coin before Shabbos, then the coin remains muktzah. It's not enough to just think that you want to, or to say that you want to use it as a clasp, to use it to fix the to hold her cloak, and therefore she's not allowed to do it lekatchila on Shabbos. Boya Abaya, Abaya asked a question. Isha mau shetarim v'tifroif alo egois lahoitzi livnoa cotton b'Shabbos. This concept of tarim is a concept of haroma, and it's like a loophole in the halacha. We know that you're not allowed to carry from a home into Rosh Hashanah, or you're not allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah. Now this woman has a little child who's in Rosh Hashanah, and she wants to give him a nut. She cannot carry a nut on Shabbos out to the child, so she says, you know what I'll do? I'll fasten my cloak onto a nut, I'll go outside, and then I'll release the nut and give it to my child. Is that mutar or osa? That was Abaya's question. So the Gemara says that we find a similar concept of a loophole in regards to a fire. If you have a burning home, chas v'shalom, then you're only allowed to carry so much food, so many clothes, whatever it is. You're not allowed to take out and save everything. And this is something we're going to discuss later on in the Masechta. But it says there that the clothes that you're wearing, those you can take out with you. The question is, can somebody put on 10 coats and 10 pants and 10, like, can you just pile on all his clothes and wear them that way and go out with it? So that's a machloikas later on in Maseches Shabbos. If that loophole that says it's not really a loophole, but since you're allowed to save the clothes you're wearing, are you allowed to put on an excessive amount of clothes, go out with them, take them off, and then come back in and put on even more clothes and go back out again? And that way you can save many more clothes than you would otherwise be able to save. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara there. So the Gemara says here that Abaye was asking, Tiboye leman d'omar ma'arimin, Tiboye leman d'omar ein ma'arimin. I'm asking my question according to both opinions regarding a fire. Tiboye leman d'omar ma'arimin bedleika. According to the opinion that says that regarding a fire, saving clothes from a fire, one is allowed to use this. One's allowed to use this loophole, and a person can don as many clothes as he wants at once and take them out. Then maybe Hosam hu di iloi shorisli osile kabuya. Over there, we're afraid that if you do not allow him to be ma'arim, to take out all these clothes, then he's going to get very frustrated and nervous that he's losing all his clothes, and he may chas v'shalom come to extinguish the fire, which is a serious issa. And that's why there's one opinion that says that it's okay. Aval hocha, but in the case of taking a nut to a child, iloi shorisle, le'osu la'fukei, if you do not allow her to do it, then she won't take the nut out. It's not so pressing to take a nut to a child as it is for a person to save his clothes from a fire. Oy dilma, or possibly, afilu leman d'omar ein ma'arimin bedleika, even according to the opinion that says that regarding a fire, you're not allowed to do this haroma. Hosom derech haitzor bekach. Over there, when you're taking out these clothes, then it's a normal way for some people, the people who would be displaying their clothes, people who are selling clothes and wanted people to see what they were selling, they would typically go out with a number of clothes on their backs. So since it's a normal fashion, the Chachomim were more machmir. It's similar to carrying. And therefore, since derech hayitzar b'kach, it was an accepted method of transporting clothes, therefore it was asa. Aval hocha ein derech hayitzar b'kach. Over here, it's not a normal way to carry a nut. A person who wants to carry a nut, he takes a nut in his hand, he takes it out. You ever saw somebody who wants to carry a nut, and the way he does it is by fastening his cloak round a nut and going out with it? And since it's an indirect, or it's an unaccepted, unusual way of carrying, it's a little bit of a lesser degree of a melacha, or similar to a melacha, and ein mashaper domi, and then maybe it will be mutter, maybe it will be allowed to do haroma to take the nut out to her son. Says the Gemara, Teiku, we do not have any way of resolving this, and we have to let this question stand for now, and Emir Tzashem, when Mashiach comes, we'll know the answer to these questions. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.